Want to go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 375 of the big show, some enforcer-based podcast coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Another Wednesday night. Yes, a little slow on the go, but we're still here. Still made it under the deadline time. All you folks, I'm sitting here at... Sitting in a snowstorm right now. Yeah, middle of April, and we got snow flying and 70-mile-an-hour winds today. It was a good time here in Saskatchewan. Just the other day, standing on my deck drinking some Rolling Rock, looking up my lawn, and just thinking, you know, spring is here. I can't wait for this. Is great. The weather was, you know, double digits of weather. It was warm out there in shorts and flip-flops, and I'm like, this is good shit. Now I look, and I'm shoveling my driveway today. But it's supposed to warm up, obviously, on the weekend again, so the snow is going to go right away. But, oh, well, I keep telling, the farmers need the moisture. That's what everybody in Saskatchewan will say. They'll be pissed about the snow, but it'll be, the farmers need the moisture. So, because we actually, for Saskatchewan, really, this winter, we didn't get actually a lot of snow at all. Why? I say we had a brown Christmas, which never in my lifetime in Saskatchewan has that ever happened, so... No, we've gotten all our snow at the end here in March and April. So, But anyway, I'm sure everyone tuned in to hear me rant and rave about the weather. But, anyway. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. What are we going to talk about today, boys and girls? Let's see. My boy Tough Guy Numbers hooked me up. Sent in a request on Twitter. If you're on Twitter or X, I guess I'm always going to call it Twitter. Tough Guy Numbers is the account name. Follow him. Does some great shit. Gives out stat. We'll log into his Twitter account here shortly, and I'll see what he's got. I always enjoy his stuff. If you happen to be on it, check it out. But I asked him for fight totals, and he did not. I asked for a couple because I'm like, I just want to make a point. Well, shit, he sent me 80s to current, so there we go. You know, ask a little, it gives a lot. There you go. You know, under promise and over deliver. Is that how it goes? Yeah, something like that. Style of fights. Kind of what makes fighters popular, that type of thing. It's a topic that came up in one of the fight groups that I just found interesting. And it's been talked about before, but I'll talk about it on here. It's a fight show in 2024. I mean, what could you go an episode without talking about Matt Rempe? I don't know. I'm like I said, I may as well call this like the fucking, I don't know, the Rempe voice podcast or something. Enforcer based Rempe. I don't know. He seems to be the focal point right now. But of course, him and Amama got yapping and whatever, and nothing happened. But whatever, we'll talk about that. And then I had a little thing. Something, it came up, son of a bitch, who was I talking about it with? Well, I was talking to somebody about it a couple days ago. Wow, shit, there you go. Tells you how good my memory is. Anyway, I was talking to somebody about one game, kind of guys that played one game, and, because they were asking people like Engelstad, he played two, and, you know, whatever, and we were kind of going back and forth on how many games people played. And then he said, he goes, you should kind of do like a one-hit wonder list or something. I'm like, oh, shit, that's actually a good idea. I don't think I've ever actually done that before. So I went and investigated, and I got the one-hit wonder list. It's actually on HockeyDB. you know, and we'll talk about that. And yeah, but before we get into it, remember the Hockey Podcast Network. There's over 100 shows in the network. All the NHL teams have podcasts. Some teams have multiple podcasts. I'm on the original content creator side, along with Terry Ryan, Jolt and Joel Azito of the Coliseum Chronicles. Yes, check out Joe's latest episode. As I always say, he just didn't release a new episode. It escaped. But it is part one with Gord Dineen. There you go. There's a salty old blue liner for you. Dineen got into some scraps. I remember Dave Brown, Wendell Clark, Alan May. This is off the top, but I want to say Tiger Williams. I think I have a picture of him fighting Tiger Williams. I know I have a picture of him fighting Clark. Shit, now was it Tiger? Yeah, I think so. We'll go with Tiger later on in his career. It's right at the end. I want to say Tiger's either with Hartford or LA, I think. Whatever. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. One of those salty blue liners that, wasn't a big fighter, but wouldn't take any shit. Terry Carpenter is another guy he fought. Yes, I haven't had a chance to listen to the episode yet, as my truck has been down at work, and it's been a whole schmoz there. Normally, I listen to podcasts while I'm at work doing my shit, but I haven't been able to, so I will tune in. I listen to Joe's stuff, but have not been able to yet. Yes, so check it out. And he does have a tremendous back catalog. Fakota, Dean Ewan, Trevor Gillies, Asham, on and on. Jolton Joe's been, he's been on top of things, man. Like I said, I'm used to the bi-monthly episodes with Joe, but, holy shit, he's keeping up a weekly schedule. I don't know what he's doing, but he's on pace right now. He's started a streak, a Cal Ripken-like streak here of like 4 weeks in a row of coming out with an episode each week. Like I said, he even did a couple solo episodes, which I know completely pained him. He hates doing those. But, tremendous. Attaboy Joe. Look at that. Wow, he wants some of that network money so he can apparently buy plane tickets to Saskatchewan. Oh, shit. Yeah, wow, the way our dollar's going, holy... Yeah, come on over, you live like a king here. Oh, see, it's 72 cents or something I was looking at. I think it was on the news today. Eesh, that's no good. That's not boding well. I hope we got to start climbing, go back to Vegas. I'll be down a jackpot without even leaving the country yet. So, anyway, don't cry for me, Argentina. But, yes, Joel, yes. So, part one with Gord Dineen, check it out. If you happen to be on social media... I don't know why you would do that, but if you are, Fourth Line Voice on Twitter as well as on Facebook and on Instagram. I'm Fourth Line Voice THPN on Instagram. Give me a follow, whatever. Check out I always put up pictures and stuff, and if you want to get a hold of me, my DMs are open, as the kids say. Drop me a line or send me an email at hockeyfights@hotmail.com. Thank you. I want to say to Kevin and Charlie for sending me some emails, and we talked. I appreciate that. Always cool to hear from people. So, yes, definitely drop me a line if you are so inclined. And if you're on the YouTubes, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube, I have over 2,000 fights on my channel. Please subscribe to the channel. If you watch a video, hit the thumbs up button. YouTube loves that shit. They love the... helps in the algorithms. Same with listening to this show. If you could, on iTunes or on Spotify or whatever platform you listen to this show on, not only mine, but Joe's or Terry Ryan's, hit the star rating at the top if you could, please, because again, that helps us out in the algorithms, and it would be greatly appreciated. And leave a review if you'd like, and download, don't stream, because that's how we get paid. And Joe needs that money to come to Saskatchewan and get ketchup chips. So, yes, all your downloads help. Send those cards and letters in the downloads. And, in all seriousness, please download, don't stream. Definitely appreciate it. And, it helps not only myself and Joe out and all the creators. And it's the network thing. Same thing with there'll be an ad read here with the DraftKings. If you're going to put any money on the Stanley Cup or betting on the playoffs, I don't follow hockey and stuff, but I've been, kind of watching the I don't know about the Jets, maybe. They got the goaltending. It's all about goaltending in the playoffs. I don't know. We'll see. I might put a futures bet on the Jets, though. But, yeah. But if you're going to do that with DraftKings, sign up. You get a bonus and shit. Use the promo code THPN. Again, it helps the network out. Not that I'm sitting there trying to promote gambling or whatever, but those are our sponsors, so that's what we have to do, you know, keep the lights on around here. But it would help us out greatly if you did that. So, I mean, if you're going to gamble online, why not, right? You know, use the sign-up code and get some free bets out of it. So it's all gravy at that point. But, yeah. Well, we should probably get into this little list here now that I have your attention. Here, well, again, as I said, we got to do some ad reads here, some sponsorships, and then I'll be right back and we'll get into her.
And now here's a word from our sponsor.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Yeah, Connor Bedard's back. Anytime scoring prop for him is +330. Oilers, the favorite Stanley Cup futures ticket, +700 right now, followed by Boston and Colorado at +850. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Okay, well, as I said, we're gonna have a look here at tough guy numbers. Initially, the reason I got a hold of them and asked about these was because somebody was talking on the fight group, and basically it was just a conversation about how fighting is up this year. And of course, I had to use the same, like, up from what, nothing to next to nothing. Oh no, there's been a really big uptick, and you know, it's kind of like the old days. I'm like, well, easy with it. It's like the old days. But he was a younger guy, and he's like, well, how many fights? Like, I think this year he said there was, at the time he said there was 306 or something fighting majors this year. Like, how many were back in the day? And I'm like, well, it'd have to be at least double that, I would think. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, oh, I'm not quite sure of the numbers, but I'm pretty sure it's double that for sure. But I said, I will get the numbers and I'll find out for you, because I'm curious to know. So, of course, I went on hockeyfights.com. And good luck finding it on there. I mean, it used to be. Now, I don't, like I said, their latest revamp of the site. Once again, tremendous job. I'm like, I don't know what fucking nickel and dime outfit they got to update that website, but all the more data is lost because I couldn't find it anywhere. So I got a hold of I should have just went to Tough Guy Numbers to begin with, but I asked him and he was like, no, I got it, you know. So I said, I just need a couple of years in the 80s and some 90s I want to make the comparison. And like I said, well, he sent me every total from 83, 84 on. So I was like, okay, well, there you go. Yeah, and it was, the numbers were just, yeah, it's kind of like what I thought. I was just like, man, and it's amazing when you look at it. I mean, I lived through them, so, I mean, I knew there was a ton of fights, but until you see it compare, you know, you compare them, it's like, man. So this year, as he's, you know, well, he sent this to me today, so as he say, 310 days entering, 310 days, okay, let's try that again, 310 fights entering Tuesday. Last year there was 334, so there's more fights last year, I guess. You know, and then the year before that there was 331. 20, The pandemic season was 196. It was a 56-game schedule. So basically, like you said, equivalent to give or take 287 over a full season. 2019-2020, there was 195, but teams played 68 to 71 games. 2018-2019, there was 226. 2017-2018, that is the year, 2017 is when the Golden Knights joined the league, so it became a 31-team league. There was 280 fights. 2016-2017, there was 372, blah, blah, blah. So basically in the 2010s, is that how you say it? 2010s. In 2010-2011, there was 645. 11-12, there was 546. 469 and 13-14. So, okay, so that's our kind of our high water mark. But say we go back all the way back down to 1983-1984, there were 695 fights, and that's a 21-team league. So the following year, 787, 888, 889, 1987, 1988, I believe is the all-time high with 939 fights. Again, that's a 21-team league. 765, 782, 771. 1991-92, that is when the San Jose Sharks joined the league. So now it is a 22-team league, and they had 793 fights. In 92-93, the league bounces up to 24 teams because Florida and Anaheim join, and there's 642. So that's interesting. From 91-92, fighting's down by about 100, over 100 fights, and there's two more teams. So that's kind of interesting. 93-94, now it's a 26-team league. Who joined in 92-93 was Ottawa, Tampa. 93-94 was Florida and Anaheim. So now it's a 26-team league, and there was 835 fights. 94-95, of course, is the 48-game season with the lockout. There was 506. Then we're back to a full schedule in 95-96. Again, there was the 26-team league. There was 785. 96-97, there was 907. 97-98, 838. 98-99 is another expansion. 98, that's when Nashville joined the league. And then the following year, Atlanta, 99-2000, Atlanta joins the league to make it a 28-team league, and there's 573 fights. And then in 2000-2001, it becomes a 30-team league as Columbus and Minnesota join. And we get 684. And then 01-02, there's 803. That's surprising. 01-02, that's, man. 02-03, 668. 03-04, 789. 04-05, of course, was canceled completely. And then 05-06, 466, 497. 07-08 jumps up again, though, 664. And then it goes up again to 734, 714, 2010. Yeah. So, you know, I said, above and beyond, yeah, these are great numbers. But yeah, it was, but it's hard to believe 939 fights with it in a 21-team league in 87-88. Man. But you just think, yeah, so everything I'm throwing out, 900, 800, 6, 5, 6, 6, 7, then 4, 6, 7, 7, 645, blah, blah, blah. And then we get all the way to this year and there's 310. And there's, and it's a 32-team league. So, because of course with Seattle now. So, fighting is, I mean, it's, you know, less than half of what it used to be and, a quarter, you know, so, but not really a quarter, but you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's just, man, that's something. And, so I think he said, you're welcome. Yeah. So a big downturn in fighting after the obstruction crackdown in 05-06, then a mild gradual recovery, but that slowed when teams like the Red Wings and Hurricanes stopped. I hope you don't mind us, you know, we're not passing government secrets here, but you know, normally I won't read my DMs on the air, but this was based on the, you know, his summation of how he came up with the, or well, he didn't come up with the numbers, but the numbers and his reasoning about the ups and downs. But, and like I said, Tough Guy Numbers, hence it's in the name, but he's, and I always say he's the analytic, he's the fight analytic guy. I'd love to get him on the show and discuss all this stuff. Yeah, hey man, you got to come on the show. I know you're hesitant, but you should, because this would be tremendous. Get analytics, but fight analytics. But it slowed when teams like Detroit and Carolina stopped dressing enforcers on their fourth line. Then some influential analytic papers around 2014 that minimized enforcers caused a further downturn. Then there was a bit of a recovery in the pandemic, but this season is actually a little down in fight numbers compared to previous two. Of course, none of this compares to the 80s and 90s, and I learned something here. Didn't realize there were more fights in 96, 97 than some of the busiest seasons in the mid to late 80s. I think the Rangers, Blackhawks, and Canucks had some loaded teams around then. Yes, they did. Yeah, in fact, I believe it was Robert and I talked about how loaded the Blackhawks team was that year. And, of course, Vancouver, man. Oh, that year they had, like, Brashear and Ogic. And well, as Napes, my boy Chris brought up the other day, he goes, you know, I was just thinking, you could think it was brief, but at one time the Canucks actually had Ogic, Brashear, and Crowder all at the same time. And he's true. You can say what you want about Crowder in his Vancouver years. I mean, it was at the end, but still, poof. You know, but yeah, those Canucks teams, man, you throw in a Scott Walker and a McAllister and a Strudwig and, yeah, they were bad. And Ogic and Brashear, that was a badass team, man. But yeah, it's interesting. I just, you know, I don't know if I bored everybody with those numbers. I thought it was interesting anyway. But it's always, so when you have these people talk about fighting's up and it's like, well, yeah, you know, up from what? There's more teams. There's less, you know, not really. I mean, you know, what was the lamest year? Yeah, 2018-2019 of 226, and that's a 31-team league. Yeah, that's, ugh. Yeah. But man, oh man, you look back. But yeah, that 01-02-800-06-838-907-96-97-907. Tremendous. Yeah. But yeah, that's why, like, yeah, I always say the 90s was kind of like my wheelhouse year, right? And it was like our wheelhouse kind of decade, you know, and that's, you know, got into the tapes and everything. And, you know, right towards the end of the 90s, of course, when I got on the internet and fight boards and really started trading. And man, so I'd get those mixed 90s VHS tapes and wore the reels off those things. I know, so, you know, obviously some of the older guys are 80s guys and stuff, and I have a bunch of 80s footage too, but yeah, I gotta say though, the 90s, kind of that early mid 90s was kind of my, like, through high school, out of high school was sort of my peak hockey watching and enforcer watching and videotapes and stuff. But there you go. There's some numbers for you. I wanted to throw out in case you were ever wondering what the fight totals were and you wanted to find out. So you went to hockeyfights.com and, well, it certainly was not on there. So, yeah. There you go. Yeah, I was just kind of scrolling his Twitter feed. This is pretty funny. He's like, during Bob Probert's 87-88 season, in which he led the NHL with a career high 398 penalty minutes, and he also made the All-Star game, he recorded 96 penalty minutes during a 6-game stretch in December. Oh, it's 96 minutes. I just looked it up. That would put him 96 penalty minutes would put him 15th this year. He would have finished 15th in the penalty minute leaders this year. And he did that in a 6-game stretch. Oh yes, different times, but there we go. Yeah, well, like I was saying before on the fight group, I was just kind of scrolling through it, and Ron brought this up. Just when we're talking, it's like style bias. And, you know, like you said, going back to the debates on the old message boards, I think it exists. Not to take anything away from anyone, but the wide-open warrior fighters got more admiration from the members. Even in the case where their win-loss record might not have been the best when compared to their peers, a fair degree much deserved letting loose and fighting wide-open like that. Guys like Reed Simpson, Vandenbosch, Craig Cox, who ended up on the losing end a fair amount of great tilt... during, but had a fair amount of great tilts, got the admiration of many of the members. But if we're talking in terms of wins and losses, who landed the most shots, who landed the most effective shots, etc., there were times that the bias works against some. Donald Brashear, in his early climb to elite level starting in 96, 97, this guy became one of the better fighters with inside power shots, but it seemed like it took several years to shake his performance in Montreal and his in-tight clutching and grabbing style. Sean Cronin with the Jets days. Sean would maul many of his opponents scoring inside less, but I don't think he got the dew back in the day. And it was interesting just reading the comments. And of course, and I completely agree with Ron, about this, but, cause I find myself doing it a lot, actually. Maybe not so much bias, but it's like, I get what, like, it's the activity, right? It's kind of like the boxer that, you know, what do they always say? You know, you had the flurry in the last 10 seconds of to win the round. Cause that's what people remember. And it's like, yeah, you know, you remember that, but it's, you know, and then Steve, when Probert was king, brought up, yeah, I think the Wide Open Warriors had a style that embodied all the ideals we want in a fighter. That courage to stand in there and take one to give one, staring down the barrel of the gun and risking it all for the ultimate victory. Jesus, Steve, you're a writer, I'm telling you. Just like Dickie Dunn. When you see guys putting it all on the line in each fight, it means so much more than the guy who is there playing it safe. There is something to be said for the more methodical guys, the inside fighters, the guys who chose a different path to victory. But in general, I think people want the warrior. They want to see the warrior win, lose, or draw. There's more substance there. There's more heart and desire to just on display in their fights. There's more electricity, more life, and the payoff after going all out to achieve victory or have fallen just short of it is the admiration of the crowd for putting it all on the line. Having a great win-loss record is nice, but there's so much more to it than that. I take a single loss in a fight that was a 10 over 100 mediocre victories. As years went by, I came to respect Brashear. He was a stylist. He imposed his style on so many of the people during his career. It wasn't my cup of tea, but at the time, as time went by, he just showed glimpse of the warrior spirit, trading blow for blow with Colt Nora, picking himself off the ice to take the fight to George the Rock. I was never a big fan of his style, but he had my respect for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And like Nick brought up, style has a lot to do with ranking fighters. If you fight not to lose, it hurts his ranking. Like boxing, the guy had a good record but fought carefully. Very few KOs, just did enough to win. Will never be at the top for me. For me, you got to risk it, risk losing, go for glory, take a shot. I never liked the guys who were terrified of getting hit. Yeah, so it's just an interesting, it was just an interesting kind of, I enjoyed reading the art. Well, I always enjoy reading Steve's stuff, you know, but, it's interesting. Like, yeah, you go back and you just think of those great wide open guys, right? You know, the Jim Cummins, the Jeff Odgers, PJ Stock, guys like that. But, you know, I mean, Chris Murray, you know, I remember one time, like, people did a thread and it was like, you know, best of the worst fighters. And, which is always kind of a put down, but I know what they meant, like, in terms of like win loss and stuff, but it's like, yeah, but it's like at the same time, like they said, those guys would go for it, right? I had this talk with Ben, DMing back and forth, and we were talking about today's fighters, and you know, and I can't remember who, and he sends me clips and whatever, and like I said, any guys, and this isn't meant to slight every, like, who am I sitting here? I'm not slighting anybody, but I just said everything now is, and I, you know, again, I don't blame the guys, whatever, but to go to this thread, it's like, yeah, it's safety fighting now, especially now with, like, well, they always had helmets, but like with visors and stuff. I mean, you got guys that legitimately, they duck away, they basically put their visor into their, you know, tuck their chin into their chest, so their visor's all the way down, and lean away, and it's just, and then they throw these wild punches that either hit shoulder, the side of the helmet, and you know, they're seven shots either way, and a couple of jersey jabs, and everybody's yelling warriors, and look at all the punches, and it's like, wow. You know, there isn't a mark on either guy. Like, he sent me a clip, and I'm not going to talk about the guys that were, and I like the guys that were involved in it. There's, you know, whatever. I'm not trying to knock them, but, you know, yeah, okay, they trade punches for 35 seconds back and forth, but they go to the box, there isn't a mark on them. You know, and it's just like, it's safety fighting. And again, the guys are so big and strong now. It's like, I get it, but at the same time, and, you know, again, they're trying to have a career, right? So, you know, on that sense, I get it. But at the same time, I said, then I watch a guy like Alex Gallant fight, or Garrett Hunt, or guys like that, and it's just like this wide open, like Steve said, they're just down the barrel of the gun and they're in the pocket swinging. And it's like, you know, and that it's kind of like, for lack of it, it's like that kill or be killed attitude. Right. And it's, you know, and I find that much more, yeah, it's style bias. And it's like, you know, and these guys that throw wide open, well, I talked about it last on the last episode, the Derek Parker, I mean, he's got 5 or 6 TKOs this year. And it's like, he just swings wide open. And of course, in the LNAH, they can pop their lids and they do the whole deal. Now it's helmets off. You're really going for it. It'd be interesting. I mean, it's never going to happen now, but it'd be really interesting if guys pop their lids and stuff. Now, it'd be interesting to see who would guys fight as much as they do. If it was like back, like in the old Western Hockey League days, where it was sort of like, it was an agreed upon gunslinger helmets off, square off deal. How many guys nowadays do you think would be willing to do that on a regular basis? I don't know. It'd be interesting. But yeah, because there's a lot of guys at safety fight now. And again, you know, at the same time, knowing what we know about head injuries and everything now, yeah, you know, I'm not going to shit on guys. But at the same time, it's like, I have a real hard time. And like I tell this big, he's a younger guy. And like I said, I'm not shitting on the whatever the Jake Doty's and them of the world. That no, not at all. But I grew up with the, like I said, with the Chris Murray's and the Jim Cummins and the Stocks and, you know, and it's just Craig Berube's and the Darren Kimball's, you know, that just chin out and go for it. And, so when I see these guys fight now, it's, yeah, there's definitely some style bias going on. But it was it's interesting. Rob had, on the message boards, has been kind of making compilation videos, like TKO, KO videos for different guys. He's got a Brashear one up there, and it's pretty good. I mean, he's got a lot of TKOs and stuff, and it's like, yeah, for a guy that everybody yells Huggy Bear and stuff, it's like, well, here you are. Here's the proof of the pudding. He lets it go in this. And like Steve mentioned in his post, yeah, at the start, I think a lot of people hold the Montreal years over him. And it's like, well, you forget he was a rookie at the time, like coming into the mid-90s NHL, you know, which was loaded. Just trying to find his way. Yeah, he had some, you know, some not so favorable looks. But as the years went on, and he definitely, like as Steve said, he's a stylist. He fought his style. But he put the hammer down on some guys, man, and he hit. Talked guys on the show that have talked about it and said he hit. So when these guys like the Huggy Bear, he's like my top 50. Well, you're a dummy then, you know, so you're a fool. But because the proof's right in the video. So if you go and do some research, you can see it. You know, it's not just, and everyone knows that listens to the show on a regular. I'm not a fucking Brashear guy at all. I was never a fan, but you always had to give him his due, I felt. But yeah, well, that's why I got, like, in the minor leagues. Like, I mean, you know, like my favorite, one of my all time favorites was Mel Engelstad. Well, I mean, that guy never wrestled a day in his life, you know, and Steve McLaren and guys like that. I mean, they just down the barrel of the gun for sure, stood in the pocket and it was bang, bang, right? And it's like, yeah, you know, so, you know, and, you know, it's one of those things, if you're going to fight, let's fight. Like, I don't know, duck it away and jersey jabs and tucking your chin in your chest. And, you know, some of these fights are kind of like, they're so pointless. It's like, you know, and like Tony, and it's brought up in the thing, but like Tony Twist said, are you fighting to win or are you fighting not to lose? And there are a lot of guys that fight not to lose these days. So, but, yeah, it's a different time. But, anyway, I'm just, I don't know really where this is going anywhere. It was just discussions us fight nerds like to have anyway. And, you know, and I know a bunch of people that listen to this show that aren't on social media or in these fight groups. So they, you know, they're not a part of it. I'm sure at some point they were back in the day on the old Fried Chicken message board or on the HockeyFights.com message board. You know, so you remember these conversations, but, for those that weren't, That's what us fight geeks talk about. Yeah, I know, but whatever. We enjoy it, right? So, yeah, the only, I guess I mentioned Rempe at the start. This is really, I don't really care. I mean, I know they played Ottawa there the other night, and Amama, or Boku Amama, I believe that's his name, was kind of running around. He got, you know, he was up with Ottawa. And, I mean, young guy, again, he's trying to make a name. He was trying to get Rempe to fight, and Rempe wouldn't fight him. So, of course, the internet explodes with Rempe scared and all this shit. And it's like, well, he fought him this year in the American League already, so I don't know what he's scared of. But I laugh at the one guy goes, you know, oh, Rempe's not going to waste his time with a nobody. No, he goes, why waste your time on a nobody? That was his post. Why waste your time on a nobody? So, of course, I type back. I'm like, well, who exactly is the nobody? I mean, let's not talk like, oh, Matt Rempe's Joey Koser all of a sudden. He's had a 10-year career. Him and Amama have played the same amount of career games and have the same amount. They have one goal, you know. And actually, Amama's fought Reeves and all those guys, too. So, I mean, why are we, you know, what's Rempe saying? Settle down, rookie? Like, what are we talking about here? They both pretty much have the same sort of credentials. No, it's the end of the year. The Rangers are going into the playoffs. Ottawa's not. There's really no point for Rempe to fight. I mean, yeah, would I have liked to have seen it? Yeah, sure, you always want to see fights. But these people that are like, they can't figure out why he's saying no and shit. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, and when I talked to John about this, we kind of went back and forth, and, you know, it's about guys making the most of their opportunity, which Rempe clearly has with this call-up. But, you know, at the other times, it's like, you know, why don't these guys make most of it? And it's like, well, got to find somebody to fight with you these days. I mean, you know, and opportunity. I mean, Rempe was in a good spot because the Rangers are a first-place team, so they're winning most of their games, obviously. And so he can... He gets more ice because when you're winning, you're going to get more, the fourth line's going to get more ice. And, you know, you have that maybe a longer leash to be a little crazy. And they didn't really have a physical presence. So I'm sure that he was told to run around a little bit. So, you know, it's all the leash that's going to be afforded to you. And sometimes they're not. And I think with these bubble guys like that, I think everyone's so scared to take a penalty these days. It's like, you know, you want to run around, but at the same time, the refs are, you know, they're going to be watching you, and it's like, and everyone's just so whistle happy now. Like, oh, we got to nip this in the bud before it gets crazy. You know, like if they bring up the goons, like, you know, so, and I'm sure in the referee room, they're keep an eye on 68 there. Yeah. He starts running around, we'll get him out of here, you know, cause why entertain the paying fans? But, you know, so, you know, and but I get John's point. I agree with him that, but I think nowadays I think it's just harder to make that statement to run around because, you know, and like I said with some of these guys, it's like again I'm not with this next generation of player. I don't think they know how. Like, you know, it's like I said, everyone it goes back to this coach shit. It's I know I circle the drain with this every episode, but goddamn, it's like everyone runs around with their little code boners, and it's this generation of fan and player. All they talk about the code, being respectful warriors, and I'll meet you. Like, they got to challenge they got to challenge the guy all the time. Like I said, well, like I said the other episode, when everybody's mad at Domi for grabbing that guy and just start drilling him. Oh, right away, it was all what a punk move, and he came from the side, and blah, you know, blah, 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 and it's like, oh, the code. Well, okay, he's messing with the captain. What code? Like I said, nowadays, you go challenge the guy, let's fight. No, we got to really go. No, I'm good. Oh, there's the end of it. And these guys just, oh, well, fuck, you skate away. And, oh, what am I going to do? He won't fight. He said no. And they don't know how to create. So it's like, well, fuck, just start running around on guys and make him force his hand. But I mean, it just doesn't happen anymore, guys. You know, everyone, because that would be disrespectful to be a tough guy and be running smaller players, because that's against the code. And, oh God, you know. So we get what we get here, you know. So I don't know, but yeah. But this idea that these guys are scared. Well, like I said, they already fought this year in the American League, so clearly nobody's scared of each other. And but you know. But Scotty, I know you were saying, I thought this was a fight board. What the hell? And I mean, yeah, it is, man. But like I always say, no one hates fighting more than fight fans. So these days, anyway. But to be completely honest, at the same time, From what I understand, I wasn't watching the game, but from reading the notes, and I talked to people that I trust that have watched it, but he didn't do anything to draw the ire of Rempe either. It wasn't like he was running around and slapping Panarin around or whatever, like to make a point, you know. I mean, if he had, I'm sure Rempe would have come out and they would have dealt with it, but if you're just going to skate and try to fight the big guy and he says no, well, then, you know, then you're standing over in the corner with your pecker in your hand and, my goddamn, guess I'm not going to fight tonight. Well, did you, you know. No one knows how to create, you know, but such as it is. Anyway, well, we're at the 40-minute mark here. I guess we'll go to the main event. I'm not quite sure, you know, how exciting this episode is or anything, but I'm trying to be informative here, give you some numbers and some stats and just what we talk about. I don't know. What more can one boy do? You know, I'm just one man over here. Come on. But, no, the one game, like I said, I was talking about this earlier with somebody and, the one game wonder thing and kind of went through the list. And, like I said, I scrolled really quick and just grabbed some names. Like, again, I'm sure there was some tough guys that I skipped over and, you know, so don't yell at me that, you know, I forgot Bill Dickey and Norm the Dodger Callings or something. So, you know, I'm sure obviously I missed a few, but, just going down the list, you know, I picked out the tough guys, of course, and, you know, we'll just, so these are guys that played one, and I mean, obviously I know guys played the, you know, preseason and all that. I mean, everyone played in the preseason, but this is a regular season NHL game. It's in the record books. Obviously I went on HockeyDB. It's all on HockeyDB if you want to type in one game wonders. They have the whole list. There was 419 players. Does not include season in progress. There you go. So out of 419 guys, these are kind of the tough guy names that I saw. Cam Brown, you know, second in the East Coast League, all time in penalty minutes. He was first until, Garrett Hunt passed him last year. In 90-91, he played for Vancouver. He played one game and actually got into a fight. It was against Chicago and it was against Mike Peluso. Don Cherry, 1954-55, he played one game. It was a playoff game with the Boston Bruins. Actually, it was funny when I looked up all these guys. They all played one game, but none of them got a point or a penalty minute. Cam Brown was the only guy that got a 5 minutes. Actually got 7 minutes, but, yeah, other than that, it was zeros. Peter Fiorentino, 91-92 with the Rangers. Yeah, he put up huge numbers in the American League with Binghamton Rangers. Yeah, a couple 300-minute seasons and stuff. Zach the Hack, Zach Fitzgerald, 07-08 with Vancouver. I'm a big fan of Zach Fitzgerald. Actually, if you go to my YouTube channel, him and Paul Brown, it's a Western Hockey League fight. Paul Brown was tremendous, too. They beat the shit out of each other. Go watch that one. Look it up. Zach Fitzgerald versus Paul Brown. But yeah, Fitzgerald was in great fights. Of course, you know, made a big name for himself over in the UK. He was over there for a number of seasons. I know, well, he's actually a really polarizing figure over there. If you go back in my archive, I believe it's episode 99 and 100. I have a two-part interview with, Zach Fitzgerald. Great, great guest. He was really cool. Told some good stories. Yeah, definitely check that out. You'll dig it. Justin Hawking, 93-94 with the LA Kings. Yeah, Hawking, man, of course, he was in the Western League in Spokane, and then he was in Medicine Hat for a couple seasons, so I got to see him play in junior, and he had a lot of hype around him, and I know he had a big rep of being a big tough guy. We always used to get mad, because he'd come to Saskatoon, he'd never fight in Saskatoon. And of course, before internet TV, well, there was no internet back then, but, you know, so you never got a chance to see him otherwise. I have since seen him fight, obviously. He played in the IHL for years, and he went over to the UK as well, but yeah, big defenseman there. And he was a second round pick with the Kings. You know, high pick. I remember him in the Hockey News draft preview. They had the big write ups on him and they talked about how he was kind of like one of the heavyweights, of the Western Hockey League. But, Greg Kuznick played with the T-Birds back in the day, 2001-08 with the Carolina Hurricanes. James Lattos, 88-89 with the Rangers. Like I said, I brought up Lattos a couple episodes ago. Look up him and Rudy Poshak on YouTube. one of the greatest fights you'll ever see. Tremendous. Oh, Rudy Poshak. I mean, oh, I love me some Rudy Poshak. There, now, there is a guy. You want to talk about a guy that stared down the barrel and went straight at it. And, oh, yeah, Poshak was awesome. I would love to see that footage because apparently there's preseason footage in Toronto. And Poshak apparently catches Probert and puts him down in a TKO. It was in the bunch of the papers. Like, we're not just saying, oh, I was there. You know, Dennis saw it, you know, because he was there. He remembers. No, it was written up in the papers and stuff. So, yeah, unfortunately, that footage has never surfaced. That would be great, though. Eric Levine, 94-95 with the Kings. Yeah, Eric Levine, who was it, the IHL, that they were fighting and they were wrestling and they went over to the penalty box and it was before, like, they had the glass and shit up in the penalty box and he, like, just flipped, like, he, like, threw him over the top rope. Who was it now? I can't remember. But yeah, it looked hilarious. Yeah, somebody throws a beer on the guy and shit. But yeah, Eric Levine. Yeah, he played a long time in the IHL, and he actually went over to the British Super League, and then he played in the Quebec League or Quebec, you know, the LNAH, and yeah, big defenseman Eric Levine. Kevin McDonald, 93-94 with Ottawa. Yeah, again, played in the IHL with Phoenix, Fort Wayne, Chicago Wolves. Yeah, put a lot of penalty minutes up in the IHL. Sean McMorrow, 02-03 with Buffalo. I believe it was a Hockey Night in Canada game, too. Sean Selmser, former Red Deer Rebel. He played with Columbus Blue Jackets 2000-2001. He did have a fight as well. He fought Chris Clark at Calgary. So, yeah, so him and Cam Brown were the two guys that fought in their one game. Actually, you know who else... I skipped over Danny Bois. He played with Ottawa in 06-07. He fought as well. Yeah, because I was going to look up who he fought. Yeah, actually, I just looked it up. Yeah, Danny Bois. I fought Brashear, actually, when Brashear was with Washington. I just watched the fight on YouTube. He actually did pretty good in it, you know, considering at the time, you know, with Brashear. Yeah, so Danny Bois with Ottawa. And of course, he went over. He bounced around, played the American League for a couple of years, played over in Europe. John Selmser, yeah, like I said. Kirk Machine Gun Tomlinson. There you go. The old Adirondack days and stuff. 87-88, he played a game with the Minnesota North Stars. I was a big fan of Tomlinson. He was great in those Adirondack DVDs. He got into some great fights. I have a few of his tilts on my. I think he had like 40 fights one year, and he'd go toe to toe. Well, you got the name Machine Gun, right? And of course Jeremy Yablonsky, 304, played with St. Louis. Of course, he got into the fight with Fedoruk. Here I am saying none of these guys fought, and then I list off five guys that fight. But yes, fought Fedoruk in his one game, and finally for Terry Ryan's boy and former Red Deer Rebel. And the late B.J. Young, 99-2000, he played with the Detroit Red Wings. Great Western Hockey League player. There you go. I don't know how exciting that list was or anything, but I kind of thought it was cool, the one-game wonders, some of those names. It's always a shame they didn't get more. Like, you know, how great would have been Zach Fitzgerald playing with the Canucks back there on the blue line for a while, or Tomlinson or Yablonsky in St. Louis for a while, for all those. It's a really great fight if you want to go on YouTube. Reed Lowe and Jeremy Yablonsky in Blues Camp. That's a great fight. I just talked to Jeremy on DM a little about a couple weeks back, and I know I always keep saying, oh, I'm going to get player interviews and stuff, but I have asked him to come on the show, and he has agreed, so I will be getting a Yablonsky interview here for you sooner rather than later. So looking forward to doing that. So, and I should reach out. Cam Brown and I follow each other on social media as well. I should get a hold of him, see if he'd like to come on. But in the meantime, Zach Fitzgerald, I encourage you to go back in the back catalog and check that interview out. And yeah. So there you go. There was some one game wonders for you. I don't know, folks. That's kind of a short episode. Was that kind of all over the place? I don't know. Felt kind of rambly, but I don't know. I just I will say, you know, as the, when you know you're doing, I always say when you're doing two shows a week and stuff, you know, it's tough to kind of come up with stuff. And, like I said, work's actually been a little busy here in the last couple of days. And, you know, just shit's been going on, breaking and stuff. So kind of out of my rhythm and, you know, and I haven't had a lot of time to really focus on the show and talk to guys. And, you know, I do want to get more guests on and stuff because I know everyone's probably just tired of listening to me ramble by myself. But, yeah, definitely do that. But, you know, I know with the season coming to an end here and the playoffs ramping up right away and the weekend here, you know, playoff fever will be going here for a month or two. So, I think a lot of time, and I might be wrong, but I think a lot of time, although, I think sometimes with the playoffs on, I think things get lost. And I would hate to bring on a player and do an player interview and it get lost in sort of the playoff shuffle. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I might be overanalyzing things. It seems in the past that it's kind of, you know, although now that I'm saying that, I don't know how many of my listeners actually still watch hockey. I don't know. It'd be interesting. I'd like to know how many of my people that listen to this show actually still watch hockey. I think there's probably a fair amount. I know the guy who hosts it doesn't, though. But anyway, how about we get out of here? I want to thank you guys for tuning in, though. I really do. You know, as I always say, I know there's millions of podcasts to listen to. The fact that you chose to listen to mine, I really do. I greatly appreciate it. And yeah, like I said, get a hold of me if you want to. If you want to come on the show, you got a story to tell, or hey, we should discuss this. All right. Goddamn. I mean, you're making my life easier. If it's someone coming on with a topic to talk about, all I have to do is react to it. I mean, yeah, that makes my life definitely a lot easier. But, no, I'd love to hear from you guys. So drop me a line. Absolutely. And, yeah, guys, we'll wrap it up. I hope everybody has a good rest of the work week. You're almost there. A couple more days and the weekend is around the corner. 5 centimeters of snow on Thursday. It's flashing on the bottom of my computer. I mean, I know that's not a lot, but it is for April 18th. We'll put it that way. Anyway. There are greater tragedies in life, for sure. So, and the farmers need the moisture. So there we go. But thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll talk to you on Sunday. Thanks, everybody.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?